Thanks for joining us for another episode of The Baptist Bias. I'm your host, Pastor Shelley, and we're going to get kickstarted with our Benelog.
Good evening, theys and thems. I've got a very important emergency broadcast for you that you need to begin parroting immediately. Recently, Tucker Carlson of Fox News, the Satan-filled demon, not that there's anything wrong with Satan or demons, revealed supposed tapes of the January 6th insurrection in an effort to downplay the most significant event in the history of the United States. Now, let's be clear, the video showing the QAnon shaman walking through the Capitol building unharassed is not what you think. Let me repeat that again. It is not what you think. Don't trust your lying eyes. The shaman was clearly exercising MAGA mind control on the Capitol Police, and they were forced to comply out of fear for their lives. In fact, these videos clearly show that Republicans and white straight men are much more dangerous than previously believed. I mean, think about it. They're able to just walk around unharassed in top secret government buildings. What if that had been a black man? They would have shot him and his whole family and lied about him, claiming he had a gun or stabbed police or some other racist accusation. This QAnon shaman was obviously taking advantage of the white privilege that Republican fascists conveniently deny even exists. Not once, as Tucker Carlson pointed out, the very real possibility that these tapes could be deepfakes, covering up how violent extremists desecrated the most holy temple of our democracy in an effort to trick the American people. We know this information cannot be trusted because no reputable source has corroborated it. When did CNN, ABC, MSNBC, the ADL, or any of the other completely unbiased liberal Trump-hating networks release this footage? Has it been fact-checked? Has Wikipedia updated their page yet? Did Snopes write an article about it? How can we know it's even true until Dr. Fauci has weighed in? We all know that MAGA terrorists are going to mislead us all about the trustworthy news you've relied on for coverage of the January 6th insurrection over the last 2 years, and they're going to do it by claiming that it's all fake. But I'm here to tell you that the liberal media is not fake. CNN is not fake. Brian Stelter's show was called Reliable Sources, for crying out loud. Who in their right mind would lie with a show title like that? In the midst of the social media chaos caused by right-wing extremists like Tucker Carlson, we can't forget about the real truth concerning January 6th, that Donald Trump incited a mob to destroy the Capitol building, light it on fire, steal the nuclear codes, and drop an atomic bomb on China. We all watched intensely while the January 6th hearings provided such gripping, thought-provoking, and emotional testimony. They proved beyond any shadow of a doubt that January 6th was the single most destructive day in the history of our nation, and everyone involved should face the most horrifyingly peaceful execution to save our democracy from devolving into a real-life rendition of The Handmaid's Tale. We cannot allow Tucker Carlson and his white nationalist cohorts to circulate disinformation about the attack on our sacred capital. We need to stop them. These people are terrorists, and we need to rise up in the streets, terrorizing them until they stop claiming that we're the terrorists. Some of our bravest keyboard warriors might be asking right now, hey, what can I do to stop Tucker Carlson and his fans? What can I do to contribute? Of course, you have the most important task of all. Whenever you see anyone on your Facebook page or your Twitter news feed giving credence to Carlson's lies, please be sure to hit the report button and use the term racist multiple times, ensuring the post will be taken down as soon as possible, especially if the post has nothing to do with race at all. That's just how white people downplay their own overt racism. By not talking about race, even though everything they say is racist, even when it doesn't seem racist at all. Look, it might seem confusing, But they're racist all the time. Scientists all agree. Scientists have proved it. It's just systemically entrenched into their skin color, and they cannot change because they're inferior to other people who have a much more beautiful and diverse pigmentation. Additionally, we urge you to cut people off in real life, no matter who they are, friends or family, who might believe that January 6th was anything other than a terrorist attack orchestrated by racist, bigoted, Islamophobic Nazis who want to enslave all minorities and pose an existential threat to our democracy. Lastly, be sure to mindlessly binge watch CNN, MSNBC, and other leftist establishment media outlets as we figure out how to spin this disinformation campaign that right-wingers are calling video evidence. I mean, don't do anything else is what I'm talking about here. Literally, do not do anything else for the next 24 to 48 hours while this so-called new January 6th footage is disseminated by the extremists on the right. Keep your eyes fixated instead on CNN, so the most trusted name in news can tell you what to think, what to say, and how to say it. And don't ever forget, the liberal media gets to decide what constitutes reality. Those who express a different opinion, even slightly, from this PSA, aren't just a threat to our democracy. They even have a bias so evil and so bigoted that it advocates for people to think critically. And we call that here at the liberal media, the Baptist bias.
Sorry to interrupt your great time watching CNN and MSNBC to bring you the Baptist bias, but we got an angry co-host here. He's just a rabid individual. He can't stand sodomites. It's been the Baptist.
How's it going, everyone? That's an intro right there. Thanks for tuning into the podcast tonight. We got a lot to talk about, and I am, in fact, in contrast to what Pastor Shelley just said, in a jovial mood. Now, that might change depending on what we discuss this evening, but I am actually in a good mood. And we do have some people in the chat room today. Azizat, L. Madge, JC, Cass, Jeremy Gossett, and others have joined us tonight. Make sure you tune in over at the Baptist Bias YouTube channel. Thank you so much for listening. Pastor Shelley, throwing it back over to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And we got a good show this evening. We got a lot of clips that we want to share. Also, we're going to take call-ins this evening. So make sure to stick around. Watch us live. There's a lot of people in the chat. You can also always give us a question or some thoughts in the chat. We're paying attention on YouTube, on Rumble. Also, we stream on God Resource just in case. And God willing, we'll get some more features added to that platform at some point and have live chat and comments and things like that, too. I know people like to be able to voice their opinion as well. But our phone number is 231-BAPTIST. We'll be flashing that on the screen here this evening, and we'll take calls a little bit later. But we really thought it would be great this evening to talk about kind of a news story that's pretty fresh. It's really kind of hit in the last 24 hours. Tucker Carlson kind of dropped some video evidence about the January 6th, quote, insurrection videos and footage. And it's really causing kind of a firestorm through the media. What have you seen going on in the media, Brother Ben?
I see hilarious denials of reality. I see video footage that was released proving that the narrative about January 6th turned out to be a complete and utter lie and phony and garbage propaganda. And what I see in response is a desperate corporate media leftist establishment responding by literally denying reality or coming up with some of the most idiotic explanations to try and explain and spin this all away. My favorite one is that CNN claimed that, in fact, the QAnon shaman was being told by the police as they were, you know, just kind of strolling together in the Capitol building. CNN claimed that the cops were, in fact, actually yelling and screaming at him to stop what he was doing, even though they were helping him out and seemingly acting as tour guides. But that's a whole different topic. My point is this. It has been hilarious to see them try and respond to this. And I'm laughing at them right now.
So has policing devolved to where you simply just tell people no?
Evidently. Even though the guys outnumbered like 1 to 100, they apparently couldn't do anything physically to stop them.
So did the American revolutionaries, did they just tell the Britons, you know, nay? You know,
nay.
No touchy, you know, no steppy.
Please don't do it.
don't come on our land because then we'll tell you no.
We'll,
I mean,
you know,
if we truly had just a giant revolt against our government and America, which is supposedly the strongest nation on earth, the Capitol Police are commissioned to tell you no while they open the door for you.
Yes. While they even
They're still
try
gentlemen.
And, they try and open doors. They were locked, and we'll play the footage tonight, but you have doors that are locked. The cops try and open. You have them guiding the shaman, whatever his name is, through the Capitol building, almost like tour guides. Look at this room. Look at that room. I mean, it literally almost seemed like he went on a paid tour of the building. Now, I want to throw it over to you and ask you. I'm going to put you on the spot right here. You know, let's just start off hot, Pastor Shelley.
Let's go.
January 6th, was it A, 100% completely staged, B, completely organic, or C, a mix of both?
I mean, I would lean towards the idea that it's almost completely is kind of a setup. I wouldn't say it's fake necessarily, but it's just kind of like a setup where, you know, sometimes what they'll do, you know, the FBI will infiltrate groups. They'll try to get people kind of angry, and then they'll suggest some really bad activity, and then that person will actually end up still doing it. So it's not necessarily like the person didn't do it or didn't try to do something wrong or commit a crime. It's just that they were kind of provoked, put in a bad situation, enabled to do something really bad. And then all of a sudden, the narrative shifts and twists to where it's not exactly as it seems. So, you know, that's kind of my viewpoint on January 6th. I'm not going to say that there weren't people doing things that were illegal. I'm sure there was a lot of illegal things going on. Obviously, there was property damage. I'm sure some people got hurt. I'm sure of this crowd of, I mean, tens of thousands. I don't even know exactly the number. I'm sure some of those people were angry and did some stupid things, some foolish things that they probably shouldn't have. But at the same time, you know, a lot of these people that are doing the really bad stuff were probably provocateurs, put there on place, maybe commissioned, maybe paid. You know, you have Ray Epps, which is obviously a big question mark for a lot of people. So, you know, how many Capitol guards knew this stuff was happening, were trying to let people in on purpose because of this, trying to allow photo ops to happen? I mean, it seems pretty coordinated, honestly. And I think that, you know, before we kind of get too deep in this, we probably need to just go ahead and show some of this footage, and then we can kind of dissect it. But it seems like Tucker, and again, to my knowledge, he's still going to release a lot more information the next few nights. But he kind of focused recently on two different elements. One was specifically the QAnon shaman, whose name is Jacob Chansley or Jacob Angeli, unless it just kind of depends. I guess he kind of goes by both names. And also a narrative surrounding a Capitol Police officer that was supposedly killed in this, quote, insurrection. And so that's kind of the most of the footage is kind of aimed towards. And I think we should play his clip. We can pause it here and there and kind of talk about it a little bit. But let's see if we can go ahead and play clip one.
These are the pictures you've seen of January 6th. They're familiar because they've been playing on a loop on every media outlet in America for the last 2 years. There's a reason for that. But it turns out there's quite a bit of video you haven't seen. And that video tells a very different story about what happened on January 6th. More than 40,000 hours of surveillance footage from in and around the Capitol have been withheld from the public. And once you see the video, you'll understand why. Taken as a whole, the video record does not support the claim that January 6th was an insurrection. In fact, it demolishes that claim. And that's exactly why the Democratic Party and its allies in the media prevented you from seeing it. By controlling the images you were allowed to view from January 6th, they controlled how the public understood that day. They could lie about what happened, and you would never know the difference. Those lies had a purpose. They created a pretext for a federal crackdown on opponents of the Uniparty in Washington.
Our office wanted to ensure that there was shock and awe, that we could charge as many people as possible.
The first thing you notice from viewing the full video record of January 6th is just how many people entered the Capitol building that day. Hundreds and hundreds of people, possibly thousands, over the course of about 2 hours. The crowd was enormous. A small percentage of them were hooligans. They committed vandalism. You've seen their pictures again and again. But the overwhelming majority weren't. They were peaceful. They were orderly and meek. These were not insurrectionists. They were sightseers. Footage from inside the Capitol overturns the story you've heard about January 6th.
Let's just pause this for a second. One thing I want to note, though, and again, I'm not saying that Tucker hasn't done his research here, but one thing that I noticed when I watched some of this footage is I don't see like a timestamp telling us when these particular events are occurring. And sometimes that's really important, right? So could these people that we're seeing walking around peacefully, just sightseeing, could that have happened an hour before Trump's even giving his speech that day? And so that footage is, of course, looking peaceful, and we don't know, you know, the context. And I'm not saying that Tucker did this misleading, like, footage, you know, where he's showing people being peaceful and it wasn't during this supposed insurrection or not. But again, to me, timelines would be somewhat relevant. If we said, hey, here's when supposedly everybody walked over, here's when they've been entering the building, and then here at this timestamp, see, people are just still walking around peacefully sightseeing. That to me is really relevant to some of that information. What do you think about just kind of the, is this being editorialized, or is it, you know, do you think that Tucker's just going to be for sure telling the right narrative here? What's kind of your perspective?
I think he's for sure telling the right narrative. It would have been better, probably, to include timestamps just to dot your I's and cross your T's. And for that reason, yeah, maybe put them on the screen or include it in his monologue that he's voicing, the voiceover. But I do think that he's being honest with the footage, and I do believe that once the quote-unquote insurrectionists, as the left likes to call them, when they got into the Capitol building, I do believe they were peacefully walking around, most of them. There were some hooligans, like he said. That's true. But they're walking around like they're on a tour guide, taking a look around, snapping selfies, snapping pictures. It was not what the media portrayed it to be.
Well, I just think, you know, especially he's going to release some more footage. I think it would be great if one of his videos is simply just a timeline where we just kind of talk about certain time markers. And then we just know, like, here's the climax of the event. And so then everything past this particular time is, you know, during the supposed insurrection. I think that would be really pertinent information. I wish that they would include that on the screen or in the footage, you know, moving forward. But just a quick thought, because I think we need to be balanced here, even though obviously I don't really believe the official narrative. I don't really believe what CNN's saying or what these other leftist media outlets are portraying things as. I don't want to just instantly just believe everything Fox News says or does either.
Sure.
And one thing that's interesting to me is just around the whole context of this, you know, we're focusing on this January 6th, whether it's an insurrection or not, but that's really kind of a disguise or a smokescreen from the whole reason this day even happened. The whole reason this day even happened is the fact that a vast majority of Republicans, if not even just our own country, is questioning the legitimacy of how our elections were run in several states, not just one. I mean, and especially at this time, I believe that some states were still even having recounts. You know, Arizona took forever. Georgia was having a lot of issues. A lot of people were trying to file cases and legal cases and lawsuits revolving around election issues and all kinds of different problems. And people were calling for Mike Pence to potentially form a committee to just at least either legitimize election fraud claims or to put them to rest. And again, you know, a lot of people even said, oh, why legitimize it or anything? But when you have a large swath of the population of America questioning it, you know, the worst thing you can do is just continue to deny it and just ignore it and pretend like it's not a big deal. Why not just provide the receipts? Why not just provide the truth and the evidence if there's no harm or no foul? That's why it seems like there's a problem, because they never want to provide any receipts, do they? They never want to tell you. And of course, I think we should talk about this January 6th thing, but I don't want to lose sight of what was really going on. And, you know, I don't know exactly what we can even say on YouTube anymore. I don't even know if I'm allowed to be on YouTube.
Nothing.
But we're going to start trying to have a portion of the show off YouTube. So tonight, you know, around 9 p.m. or so, we're going to go exclusively to Rumble and God Resource. So that way we can say everything we want. And of course, I don't even know if you can do that on Rumble, but we're going to try it because we might as well. I hate being censored. I think we need to just talk about things very frankly and plainly. So, but we want to, you know, transition people. So, you know, starting around 9 p.m. or so, if you want to catch the rest of the show, you're going to have to get it off of, you're going to have to get off YouTube, join us on Rumble. I just want to give you that warning now, and we'll give you another warning as we get a little bit closer. But let's go ahead and play a little bit more of this clip, and then we can kind of talk about it.
You up in neat little lines. They give each other tours outside the speaker's office. They take cheerful selfies and they smile. They're not destroying the Capitol. They obviously revere the Capitol. They're there because they believe the election was stolen from them. They believe in the system. Here's the man you've heard referred to as the QAnon shaman outside the Senate chamber. These are not rioters. These are people who wandered over from a political rally. The single most famous person arrested that day was a Navy veteran from Arizona called Jacob Chansley, often referred to as the QAnon shaman.
The so-called QAnon shaman.
QAnon shaman.
Someone named Q shaman.
Jacob Chansley became the face of January 6th, a dangerous conspiracy theorist dressed in outlandish costume who led the violent insurrection to overthrow American democracy. For these crimes, Chansley was sentenced to nearly 4 years in prison, far more time than many violent criminals now receive. What did Jacob Chansley do to receive this punishment? To this day, there is dispute over how Chansley got into the Capitol building. But according to our review of the internal surveillance video, it is very clear what happened once he got inside. Virtually every moment of his time inside the Capitol was caught on tape. The tapes show that Capitol Police never stopped Jacob Chansley. They helped him. They acted as his tour guides. Here's video of Chansley in the Senate chamber. Capitol Police officers take him to multiple entrances and even try to open locked doors for him. We counted at least 9 officers who were within touching distance of unarmed Jacob Chansley. Not one of them even tried to slow him down. Chansley understood that Capitol Police were his
So CNN's telling us right now, they're telling him, stop, please stop.
Yeah.
I mean, that one cop was leading him.
They verbally.
And then tried to open the door for him.
That's the idea. They verbally tried to stop him.
And 10 armed Capitol Police can't stop this weirdo dressed up like a psychopath? Okay, keep going.
Allies. Video shows him giving thanks for them in a prayer on the floor of the Senate. Watch.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving the inspiration needed to these police officers to allow us into the building.
Contrast the reality of what Jacob Chansley did in the Capitol building on January 6th, the indisputable facts recorded on video, some of which has never before been seen, with the depiction of Jacob Chansley that you've seen in the media for more than 2 years. He's a terrorist, they said. He should be killed.
Shoot him. Shoot him. Like, if it,
all right, let's pause for another second. You know, I noticed that me and my friends always seem to be called these like violent terrorists that are always calling for people to be killed or executed or some kind of violent extremist, and we get canceled. What about this guy? How is this guy not calling for violent and calling for death.
Shoot him.
I mean, he's as plain as day. And not even with a lawful trial. You know, my employee, Dylan Oz, made it really clear how he feels that people should be given a lawful trial and be convicted and then sentenced with death if found guilty. This guy is just saying, already guilty, just shoot him.
Shoot him.
Just kill him. I mean, no questions asked. Yet, how many times has Bill Maher or his guests been canceled for this violent rhetoric? Let's keep going.
The United States Senate. If he was dressed like bin Laden, would he have shot him?
Shoot him. Shoot him. It makes you wonder, who are the violent extremists here? Not Jacob Chansley. And the video proves that. But you would never have known from the media coverage.
The people sitting in the chairs need to be sitting in a jail cell.
Chansley is in a jail cell. He's been there for months. If he was in fact committing such a grave crime, why didn't the officers who were standing right next to him place him under arrest? Until now, no one could even prove that even happened. But it did.
And that's the clip.
Well, so this clip specifically is kind of focused on Jacob Chansley, the QAnon shaman, which, did he even claim that title? Is that not just a title the media gave him? Do we know?
It's what people call him. I think Jacob Chansley, is that his name? I think that'd probably be a better way to reference him.
Well,
but it's how he's known.
But here's the thing. It almost seems like they're killing a lot of birds with one stone here, because they're just trying to make QAnon seem like the craziest, weirdest freaks on the planet, which I think some of them probably are. And I'm not even saying this guy isn't necessarily. He might be kind of a weirdo or a psychopath. Who knows how he got conned in even wearing this getup, this outfit, if he was just kind of being someone who is doing it for satire, like maybe he's like a comedian type personality, if he's serious about this. I don't even know. I don't think I've even seen him been interviewed or talked about his opinions. But either way, they just instantly try to discredit anything and everything that a group called QAnon supposedly has said, and just labels all these people, you know, these just conspiracy theory sideshow freaks. Whereas, you know, some of the things that QAnon have said, and I don't know, you know, how this thing even works entirely, just people online claiming to be QAnon are saying, hey, a lot of people in our government worship Satan and are child molesters. And it's like, that's probably true. I probably do agree with that. Does that mean that everything they've said is good? Obviously not. You probably, if you are a Satan-worshipping child molester in our government, would love to smear anybody that's saying that about you, no matter who they are. Have you heard much about this QAnon stuff?
Dylan in the chat room says, I've seen interviews with the guy, and he's a freak Norse false god worshiper for sure.
Okay.
Doesn't surprise me, given the outfit he decided to wear as he was waltzing through the halls of the Capitol building.
Well, I guess that's what you get when you're a Norse god. You get the harshest penalties for being really just a complete idiot. He should have seen that one coming. Which, again, you know, maybe they're taking advantage of the mentally weak, people that are on drugs and confused, and or maybe this guy's just demon-possessed. I don't know. But obviously taking some person that believes they're a Norse god and saying, hey, you want to just come in here and stand up here and just talk for us for a minute? I mean, it seems like a pretty easy fall guy.
Sure.
I mean, do we really believe this is the bravest warrior that fought through all the Capitol Police and made his way to the top of the mountain? Or was he conveniently placed there to be the fall guy to make the whole thing look just crazy and bizarre and maybe even just to worship the devil? I mean, the guy's dressed up in kind of like a satanic style outfit. Who knows if they wanted that image? They wanted that picture. It seems like they may have wanted that just to worship their false god, Baphomet or something.
Well, the common theme of the program tonight is propaganda. And the propagandists have used this event, and that's kind of the broader discussion here tonight, is that propagandists have used this event to advance a narrative, which is what? Donald Trump incited a mob to overthrow the government on January 6th, which is fake. That didn't happen. And also to advance the narrative that Christians, conservatives, those on the quote-unquote right, are insane, that they're crazy, that they're violent, that they're domestic terrorists, and that they need to be subdued. Now, even if you don't like Donald Trump, you're not involved in the political battle, this affects us as Bible-believing Christians because I believe this narrative will one day be honed down to simply just Christians are domestic terrorists. It won't necessarily be about politics anymore, but they'll narrow it down eventually, and the talking point will one day go from this whole MAGA movement to just Christians as a whole. Christians are domestic terrorists. Christians need to be eliminated. We see that in Scripture. That's what the Antichrist is going to do, wage war with the saints. A friend of mine texted me, Michael. He says, the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances is not negated by the actions of a few provocateurs or patsies. I agree with that. And with regard to this event, I think, Pastor Shelley, you were right, that there were provocateurs there who made this thing worse on purpose. And they incited this and they provoked it to push the narrative I just talked about. But even if it were, hypothetically, and this is going to get some heat on me, and you might not agree with this, but I'll go ahead and say it anyway. Let's pretend it was 100% organic. Now, we fight a spiritual battle as Christians. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I'm not advocating for carnal warfare. I'm not advocating for insurrection. I'm not advocating to go take up arms and go fight the government. I do not advocate for that. Could I be more clear? I don't believe it's the right thing to do. But if this thing...
Do you think it's the right thing to do, though?
I do not believe that's the right thing to do. I do not believe it's the right thing to do. But if this thing were totally organic, I'm not going to be shedding a tear about it. I'm kind of upset they didn't finish the job. Because these are wicked devils in our government who deserve the wrath of God.
Well, I don't know if that completely contradicted your first point there, but here's the thing. Obviously, do you want to see wickedness overthrown? Sure. I do think it should be done through the proper channels. I do think that our founders did try to create a system in which even if there was a level of corruption that it could potentially be overcome through proper channels. But even they themselves in the Constitution are essentially giving license to the idea that it could get to a point where even this government is so corrupt, and at which point that they're not even following the Constitution, that it's really a mandate on the people to overthrow the government and create a new government. And really to be more loyal to the ideals, be more loyal to the Constitution and freedom than it is to a particular politician, to a particular quote-unquote elected official. And so I don't even know if that's technically insurrection if you think about the fact that they're following the higher power, which is what Romans 13 ultimately says. You know, it's kind of a tough question for Christians in my mind, because if we're supposed to obey the higher powers, and theoretically the highest power in America is the Constitution, is resisting this stuff, fighting this stuff, really being an insurrectionist or being rebellious, or more likely, are you actually following the right chain of command? I mean, if you have a company where the CEO has one viewpoint and every manager below him is wicked, you know, who are you going to follow? Are you going to follow the CEO, or are you going to follow all the lowerling managers? And I think as a country, though, here's my problem. Is let's say we got rid of these quote unquote wicked people in government. Let's just say they somehow, whatever happened, it doesn't matter the channel. Let's just say it was properly done. Okay. And we put in new people. What's to stop them from just turning into those same people in just a very short period of time? In my mind, probably almost nothing. To me, a country is going to often have leaders that are a reflection of the people. And while America as a whole, I don't believe, is as wicked as our leaders, it's just an extreme punishment that God's delivering to our country to say, look, if you're not going to follow my commandments, if you're not going to serve me, then I will give you way worse leaders than you could even imagine, in essence. And so really the call to action is to try and change the culture of America, because as long as our culture is bad, it does not matter which leaders we put into office. It's just, we're going to reap a horrible consequence of the fact that as a whole, Christians are not serving God. They don't love the Bible. You know, that's why I think it's important to get people on the King James Bible. We made the Preserve Bible documentary. I think it's why it's important to teach people how to go soul winning and to preach the gospel and the separation. That's why we're fundamentalists, is to do all these different things. So, you know, while I'm pro having the right government and resisting a lot of this wickedness, I think sometimes it's more of a symptom than it is the actual root of the issue. I mean, do you really believe that if we got rid of the wicked element in our government and replaced them with Donald Trump, who believes that Caitlyn Jenner can use whatever bathroom it wants, is going to really make our country great again?
No, and I don't advocate or endorse waging a physical battle. And I don't think that it produces a long-term solution or change. However, I'm not going to mourn if Nancy Pelosi has her office, quote unquote, desecrated. I mean, if there are going to be people who hijack Nancy Pelosi's office and over, you know, throw the table over or something like that and stomp on it, like, I don't care. I'm not going to mourn, is all I'm saying. However, obviously,
well, what did the office do to you?
Well, it's inhabited by Nancy Pelosi, so it needs to be just totally cleansed.
Oh, okay. I mean, I understand that, you know, at the same time, like, I want to be balanced here, because here's my opinion. I don't think it was an insurrection.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily agree with all the actions performed by every single individual in there. I think you could have stood outside or gone through the building if it was lawfully allowed, not causing property damage, and tried to put pressure on these individuals through just a public demonstration saying, look, this is how it is. You know, you guys need to fix this problem, or then, you know, we're going to have to go to another solution here. But I think as America as a whole, we need to, the entire nation needs to just basically rise up and say, look, you're going to get the right leaders. You're going to do the criminal investigations. We're going to hold these people accountable, or we're going to have a new government. But, you know, give them the opportunity to make the right decision before you just kind of force your hand, as it were. But again, you look at the American people, you look at a lot of our politicians, we don't really have a lot of leaders. We don't really have any individual that's going to rise up. And I don't think that we will. I don't think we're going to have a human leader. I think as a whole, we just need Christians to come out and say the right thing and do the right thing and build a parallel economy and let the wicked die. Because these woke companies and everything else, hiring all these diversity hires and all these weirdos and sideshow freaks, they're going to destroy their companies. I mean, if everybody just left YouTube, YouTube would fail. The only thing propping up YouTube is America keep going there and giving them all their eyeballs and their dollars and their money. Same with any company. If Christians just acted like Christians, it would cripple a lot of these wicked industries. It would cripple a lot of the wickedness that's going in our culture and our society. It's that they're propping it up through being like the world, acting like the world, and doing a lot of worldly things. And that's kind of a, we like to blame other people for our issues. It's not Nancy Pelosi's fault that Christians sin. It's not Nancy Pelosi's fault that churches in America are dying and are ungodly and have false teachers in them. You know, it's, Nancy Pelosi is a judgment because of that. And so, you know, do I really want to go and throw Nancy Pelosi's desk over? You know, I'm more mad at John MacArthur. I'm more mad at Joel Osteen. I'm more mad at the people that are going to these people's churches and giving them money and then complaining about Nancy Pelosi, as if Nancy Pelosi's the problem, not them being a watered down liberal Christian who's not saved, who doesn't care about America, and then claiming, hey, let's get in an insurrection. I mean, there's a lot of people in the Bible, like Barabbas, who was arrested for insurrection. Not a great guy, not someone that did a lot of good things for the Lord. You have people like Josiah getting involved in the war with Pharaoh Necho, which was not his battle, not his fight. and basically dying early because he got involved in that carnal physical battle. Additionally, many of the disciples of Christ, I mean, Peter sliced the ear off of a Roman soldier. But what did Christ do? He picked it back up and put it on the ear, and he made it abundantly clear, like, this isn't the battle we want to get into. You know, we're not here to just fight Romans. You know, the Jews were, in essence, at that time, a dying nation. There was no reviving it. It was a fig tree that had been cursed, and it was withering. And really, the only opportunity was to just save what you can and get out. And honestly, I believe that's where America is at this point, essentially. America's kind of is a dying fig tree, and you either are going to see us enter in the end times, and America is just going to survive because it's the end times Babylon, or you are going to see the true death of America, and something's going to rise out of the ashes. Is righteousness going to rise out of the ashes, or is communism going to rise out of the ashes? We don't know, but and we can't predict the future. I don't know. Are we in the end times? Seems reasonable. Are we not in the end times? I think that's still reasonable. But should we go in and just, you know, take a dump on Nancy Pelosi's desk? And should we go around and make AOC hide? Because she was so terrified that day. I mean, yeah, it's in my flesh. It's like, that's fun and that's cool. But like, is that really the right attitude spiritually, is to just want to go in there and trash his office? I'd rather get the person out and put a good person behind the desk than to just throw her desk over and then she's still there. Like, what did that accomplish?
Well, I'm in total agreement. I believe that it's a spiritual battle. And in fact, this person in the chat room says, if someone doesn't acknowledge the spiritual side, then the political aspects amount to nothing. Another person says, I do agree with you on that, Pastor. The ones who were making a fool of themselves on camera weren't doing anything to advance a good cause. And I think we need to remember as Christians that our leaders, the politicians in Washington, D.C., are nothing more than a reflection of the populace. And in this case, Christianity right now is kind of pathetic. The state of Christianity sucks. A vast majority of churches are lame, watered down, limp-wristed. They don't preach the Bible. They let the sodomites in. A lot of them have women getting up and preaching. It's so bad. And that's why America is on a bobsled to hell, because Christianity is lame and stupid and it's fake, and they don't preach the word of God. They don't care about the word of God. They don't preach against sin. They have no standards. They've abandoned the fundamentals of the faith. And you wonder why we have freaks in office today, including a dude who can't string a sentence together, the president of the United States, another guy, Fetterman, is mentally just brain dead. These are the leaders we deserve as a country because we are spiritually decrepit and continue to decay. I said I was in a jovial mood in the beginning of the podcast. Now I'm not, Pastor Shelby. But seriously, though, it is Christianity. If my people, the Bible says, if Christianity would get off its rear end and start to care about the things of God again, maybe we would have leadership that would be a reflection, a positive reflection of our population.
Yeah, I mean, in Pennsylvania, you have Josh Shapiro, a Jew, running for governor, and you had Doug Pastriano, who was advocating a lot of Christian values and beliefs. I don't even know if he's saved. I don't know if he's evangelical or Catholic. I don't know. But a lot of things that he was saying were a lot more in line with the Bible than the Jew. And yet, who wins the nomination? Josh Shapiro. Now, is that legitimate? I don't know entirely. But again, if every single person is voting in the Christian, you know, the voter fraud can only go so far. You know, if every single person is voting for the right candidate, you know, it's going to make it much more difficult to do enough ballot stuffing or algorithm changing or everything like that. And I think that's been the narrative of the Trumpers and stuff, is that if we vote hard enough, we can overcome the election fraud, which I don't think that will happen entirely. But again, if it was 100%, then it would make it really, it would be pretty intimidating on the other side of the equation to try and, you know, cheat the system at that point. When it's pretty close, though, it's easy for them to gaslight, switch the narrative, cheat just enough to kind of rig the numbers and to make it seem plausible, seem passable. And I want to talk a little bit more about that when we get kind of off air, but we do have a few more clips, and there's one that I wanted to show. It's a Gab post, I believe it was, and it's January 6th Tucker clip. I don't know if this, I think that this clip has, now this is kind of, we already showed this. Let's go to,
you want to see the cop?
I want to see the Elon put a propaganda warning label.
This is a news story from Infowars.com or Newswars.com is their alternate website. Elon Musk says he might put a propaganda warning label on CNN's tweets. If an organization portrays itself as balanced, but it is not, it should be labeled to inform the public. Which I like. I think this is a step in the right direction for Twitter. CNN is propaganda. The corporate media, they are propagandists. They are propagandists. And we can demonstrate that for you. If we play clip two, do you want to play clip two? Clip two is a demonstration of the propagandists in action concerning January 6th. Let's watch them brainwash their viewers. Let's watch them inculcate them with the only narrative that they want to be allowed to be disseminated. Check it out.
Don't send me your, are you still talking about the insurrection? Yes. And we're going to continue to talk about it.
They are making fun of these remembrances. Right. They are pretending like we are all hysterical.
Certain dates echo throughout history, including dates that instantly remind all who have lived through them where they were and what they were doing. December 7th, 1941. September 11th, 2001. And January 6th, 2021.
I'm gonna keep talking about it. I'm gonna keep talking about it.
There's never been a bigger or more important story in American history than this.
This is the most important story in the history of the Republic.
These January 6th hearings are remarkable. They are riveting.
The hearings last night, they were searing, they were vivid.
It was compelling, it was chilling. The videos were chilling, and I think it's going to be historic.
This was a historic, compelling hearing.
This is very compelling television, because it's a very compelling hearing, and it's compelling. It's must-see TV.
I've been texting with a number of sources. I was texting people live during the hearing. The words that I was hearing from them were stomach-turning, riveting, compelling. One senator told me that he had a lump in his throat as he was watching the video.
9/11 is nothing compared to January 6th.
Watergate is a walk in the park next to the January 6th attack on American democracy.
This is the most important and disturbing incident that's ever happened in the 246 years of the American Constitutional Republic.
This is so much worse than something like Watergate.
What happened on January 6th is so much worse than Watergate.
Really?
It really is, by 100 degrees.
Orders of magnitude worse than Watergate.
So I have to ask you, you just watched that clip. You saw propagandist after propaganda. January 6th, worse than 9/11, worse than Watergate, the most significant event in U.S. history. Oh, just hysterics. Why? I surmised the idea is because they want to condition or socially engineer people into believing that we have domestic terrorists who are, quote, right-wing conservatives, and that they need to be subdued. In your mind, what's the point? Why would they go this far with the brainwashing and indoctrination? What is this all about, in your opinion?
I feel like they're just flipping off America and just proving that our public education system is total trash. Because probably one event that I would think, you would think like everyone that's gone to public school knows happened. It's called the Civil War. Are we going to really pretend like the Civil War, where people actually died and killed each other for a period of time, a real, true, actual war where people were fighting, is somehow less significant than this, quote, January insurrection where we almost lost the Republic? I mean, that's the type of gaslighting narrative that they have to bring up. I mean, 9/11, which again, not even probably even top 10 on, in my opinion, probably historical events that shaped our country. I don't even think 9/11 is in the top 10. Maybe in the most recent decade, it might be in a top 10 list, but that's a situation where actually thousands of people died. I mean, lots of Americans actually died in 9/11. And somehow that's doesn't even come close to this January 6th. I mean, this is my thought, and I struggle with this. Are these news anchors reading, like, are they paid actors? Are they just mindless zombies reading the teleprompter? Or are they just wicked? Like, what is, you know...
Both.
All three?
Yeah. They're wicked and they're soulless, reprobate, psychopathic demons who are sitting there reading the prompter.
But I'm just saying, like, you know, you could have someone that's not very smart and they're just simply just really good at just reading and kind of smiling and doing whatever, but they're not even critically thinking about what they're saying. Like, they're just kind of like an idiot. And they're just kind of this mindless, useful zombie.
Oh, I think they know they're lying.
Or there's, you know, the opportunity where they just genuinely believe that and they're wicked and they, like, you know, they just kind of fallen for the lie. Or there's opportunity that they're just like, they're in on it. They know what they're saying is a lie. They're purposely and maliciously hurting America. They're in on it. They're getting paid. They don't care. They simply will say anything for money and they don't care what collateral damage is going on. I mean, what percentage of our news anchors are to that extremity? Or do you think some of them are kind of just useful idiots?
I'm sure there's a percentage that's useful idiots, but by and large, I mean, you look at this Don Lemon sodomite, you know, that's an evil, abominable sack of filth who is, without a doubt, knowledgeable, aware of the fact that he's lying. He's lying. These people know what they're doing. They know they're lying. And the left as a whole, I believe, recognizes this. It's just that the ends always justify the means to them. They don't care. They'll use whatever means necessary, silencing the opposition, threatening the opposition with violence, doing whatever they have to do. Censorship, just blatant lies like this one, brainwashing, doesn't matter. They will use any means necessary to go ahead and advance their cause. This is why I compare them to a malignant tumor. Leftism is like a malignant tumor on the neck of this country.
So are you saying that you like Don Lemon?
No.
Oh.
Christians need to apply. I was in a good mood before we went on the air, folks. Christians need to apply what do they do for cancer? I forgot the word.
Chemotherapy?
They need a radiation on the tumor and get that the hell off of our neck as Americans. But instead, they're only perpetuating it. Surgery. That's the right word.
Just cut that growth off, as it were.
But why, though? Why lie this blatantly about 9/11? Why would they try and whip up so much hysteria and stoke so much emotion regarding January 6th? In your mind, what's the broader goal that you think they're trying to accomplish? Is it to eventually demonize Christians?
Well, like I said, I think it's a smokescreen. It's just a smokescreen. They need to project what they're actually doing. I don't want to get into, we're going to get into it here in a few minutes. We're going to go off of YouTube. We're going to go into Rumble. So you might already make the switch on us. We're going to take some calls as well. And so you can call in 231-BABTIST. But it's got a lot to do with the election. And again, if there is a group out there trying to overthrow the government, trying to destroy quote-unquote democracy, even though we have a constitutional republic, we don't have a democracy, then it's going to be these leftists. It's going to be these paid actors called journalists who genuinely don't care about anything that's true, journalism, making a poignant argument, just simply are just tools of the media and of the devil. And in many cases, just, you know, affiliated with Satanism directly. So I think that, you know, when it comes to this particular event, the January 6th, I like that we're talking about it. I like that Tucker's bringing this up, because if they've lied this hard for this long, maybe it'll allow somebody to say, what else are they lying about? What else is really going on here? how could we have this many people all in on the same lie, bringing up the same talking points, saying these things when it's just so patently false? There's no truth to it whatsoever. This isn't like a difference of interpretation here. This is just bold-faced lying. And I think you have to start then asking the question, because Tucker and some of these other people, they're trying to be gentle about it. Like, oh, just for political gain. No, no, no. There's a lot more at stake here than just political gain. There's a much more nefarious element.
That's it.
And of course, you know, being a Christian and having the Baptist bias, we understand that it's coming from an antichrist spirit, coming from the devil, trying to take over the freedom of our country. Because frankly speaking, you know, with millions of Christians free to preach the gospel and do and say whatever they want, it's hard for the antichrist agenda to be successful. They need to shut us up. They need to censor us. They need to quash our freedoms. They need to put these restrictions in place. I mean, if the Bible is going to be true, that the antichrist is going to cause small and great to receive a mark on their hand they can't buy or sell, well, there's going to have to be some changes economically. You know, there's going to be a change in the monetary system. There's going to be a change in the supply chain. Because with cash and other forms of currency, this is not possible. It's not possible to just demand everybody to essentially abide by your economy, because there's too much cash flowing. People have their own different ways of taking cash, bartering, selling. You know, economic trade is going to go freely. They need it to become electronic. They need it to become a push of the button. They need to be able to turn you on and off. This is why everything's going to credit cards. Credit cards give you rewards. Credit cards give you points. There's all this push to get on electronic systems. And we've seen in just the last few years how easy it is for companies, businesses, churches to get canceled just like that, out of thin air. YouTube channel gone. Bank account gone. I mean, what else is it? You know, they fake charges. How many people were arrested on January 6th with no charges, thrown in prison, demonized? Yeah. And the media can say whatever they want, show any kind of clip that they want, out of context. No one seems to hold them accountable. They're all kind of in on it, it seems like. Even Fox News is not a trustworthy network, in my opinion. You know, I think that Tucker says a lot of good things, but how much is he allowed to even say on his own network? I mean, what is your opinion of Tucker? Is he able to have kind of free reign here, or is you think he's being held back even from his own viewpoints?
Of course he's being held back by a network that for sure wouldn't let him cross the Rubicon, wouldn't let him talk about certain issues. And that's one of the drawbacks of being on a platform like that, is you're controlled in some way, even though he's probably your best option regarding mainstream television. He's your best option. But I do believe he's held back because of the network that he's on. And just to draw up from something else you said, talking about the Baptist bias, we recognize, look, this whole thing obviously was orchestrated by FBI, deep state informants, provocateurs, Ray Epps being one of them, who tried to provoke a mob to break into the Capitol building as a pretext to demonize conservatives, right-wingers, and Christians. And the question is, well, who's responsible for this? And we could point to the left all day long, and we can rant and rave about them. But the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. I believe, in context here, we're talking about the beginning of Daniel's 70th week, and I recognize the devil is cast out of heaven during that time. But in general, Satan is responsible for deceiving the whole world, and he's using minions. And his minions, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:13, are evil men. It says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Deception comes from Satan.
I don't want to interrupt your thought there, but we are going to be switching over to Rumble. You can call in 231 Baptist. The show's going to get a little bit spicier. Please don't lose us. Transfer now if you haven't done it already.